Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of you today. Conducting the service will be the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Can there be peace in the time of great suffering? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we realize today that we live in an age of suffering. Many who suffer because of war, many, O God, who suffer because their hearts are turned away from you for one reason or another, many whose bodies are broken. God in heaven, we know that when we live in a broken world, not everything is going to be right. But we thank you that you have given us the promise that trusting in Jesus, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Feed us with your word today, Heavenly Father. Grant that we may be strengthened in our faith and that there may live within our hearts, be they good days or bad days, that peace which knows no end. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of 1 Peter, beginning with verse 18. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. During the last few weeks, my wife and I have been watching Archie Bunker and his wife, Edith. There are some reruns on the television that we often watch, and it's just kind of fun to go back and see what Archie used to say. You know that he was very free to quote the Bible, and he made it say just about what he wanted to say. I was amused the other night when he began to talk about Job. He said, you know, Job was quite a guy. He really went through some rough times, and he didn't do too much complaining about it either. For that reason, God was willing to give him a good deal, and he put his book in the Bible. We ought to read it. Now, there's an element of truth in there, but only an element. And so you chuckle just a little bit. However, when you get more serious about this, you have to ask the question, is Archie's knowledge of the Bible any worse than others, some who might even be members of the Christian church? We are told that so often we are biblically illiterate, and that might be true if we came to a real detailed examination. But the question that I'm most concerned about today Are we illiterate when it comes to the basics of the Christian faith? Because there is a tendency for that to happen. Over and over again, the Church of Jesus Christ must get on with these basic truths on a regular basis, telling people what Christianity really is. Now, while we are here on this earth, we know that there are going to be various interpretations of certain things in the scriptures. But the Bible has become so clear, has been so clear, that on the basics, that is, on the things that really count as far as eternity is concerned, there is great agreement. Peter, in our lessons today, is talking about two of these very basic truths. The first one is the way of salvation. That is, how does a person enter into a personal relationship with God? It is interesting to notice, and I did that again this Easter season, to read some of the personal accounts in our newspapers. It is evident to me that many of these people who report on what is happening in churches in their particular community don't have much of a clue as to what Easter is all about and the dynamic power of that message and the resurrected Christ. It is very evident in the way that it is dealt with by some of those who report that they don't understand that this is a matter of life and death for the Christian. It is the core of the Christian faith that the resurrection of Jesus Christ does not make him a dead martyr, but a living Lord. In the passage of Scripture that has been given to us today, Peter is making it very clear as to why Jesus Christ came and what he has to offer to us. Let me read it to you just again. He, that is Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's pretty simple, isn't it? What the Bible is saying is that Jesus took all of our sins upon himself. And when he went to the cross, he died for those sins. In other words, he's dying as a payment that our sins might be forgiven, and that once we are cleansed from our sins, we may live under Christ in righteousness. Peter goes on to tell us that it is by the wounds of Christ that we are healed. In other words, when I stand before God in my own person, I am a sinner. I am filled with all kinds of unrighteousness. I have transgressed the laws of God. But when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord, all of those sins are completely, 100% taken away. And I, who have been wounded by sin, suddenly are healed. And I stand before the Lord whiter than snow. He also says something that's very simple. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseers of your soul. Isn't it interesting, friend? We were walking away from God. We thought that we were living a pretty good life. We thought that we were doing what we were supposed to be doing. And yet we know that the sins were still there. But when we lay them all on Christ, they are taken away. We are restored into fellowship with God forever. I hope that you had a great Easter, now that we're a few days away from it. As a part of the Holy Week observance in our church, we have what is known as a Tenebrae service. It's held on the Friday before Easter, Good Friday, we call it in the church. And traditionally in the church where I once served and now where I belong, we have some of our young people, most of them are seniors in high school, who stand before hundreds and hundreds of people in our church and tell what Jesus Christ means to them. When I walked out of that church on Good Friday, I met one of our youth directors. And looking at me with a smile on his face as much to say, praise God, that those young people really know what salvation is all about. I said to him, Dave, my cup runneth over. Never before had I heard any better preaching, and I preached there for 43 years, than what those kids said to us on that particular night. A young man stood up with a real sense of humor, and he began to tell about the cares that sometimes were found in his life. He said, "I made a great discovery." Now, some may question the theology of that statement, but that is why it is so clear. You see, they have no hang-ups. The young man said, "I made a great discovery. I discovered that I can bring all of my cares to Jesus Christ, and life suddenly becomes so new. He takes my sins away." Now, very deep theology. Oh, the thought is very deep. But the words, the presentation of it, and those kids who were sitting there listening to their peer had their minds on what he was saying. And I pray to God the Holy Spirit was bringing that into their soul. When he got done, another fellow stood up and he said, "You know, when I was just a little boy, my mother died. I was raised in a non-Christian home. I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, but I had a Christian aunt and uncle. And they brought me to church, and when I heard the minister say for the first time in the pulpit, 'Jesus Christ,' he said, I thought he must be a terrible man. He's swearing. But that's the only context that I had ever heard that message in. But he said, during the course of this time that I've been growing up, my aunt and my uncle have talked to me about Jesus. The church that I've gone to has preached to me about Jesus. The youth department with whom I have spent a lot of time have confronted me again and again with Jesus. And today I am a new person. I am a new person, and I am what I am because of Jesus." Now that's a paraphrase, but it was simple as that. He was saying that he who had come from an unchristian setting suddenly had come into the presence of Jesus Christ and his sins were forgiven. That can happen to us. That's why my cup runneth over. When I can hear a 17-year-old boy standing there before hundreds and hundreds of people, many of them his classmates, and saying to them, "I have been set free in Jesus Christ." That's glorious. And then right after that, there was a young lady who stood up, and she told about some of her experiences. She'd had a tough time, and in all of the difficulties that had come to her, she had watched her father go off to prison. And there he sits. She said, "I grew angry. I began to really not like him, for he had done so many unjust things to our family. But finally, I find my peace in this, that I can bring even a personal concern like that to the foot of the cross and know that there is help. For it is Jesus who will take away my sin of sometimes bordering on hatred and making me love my Father." How simple. No theological training, and I don't mean that we shouldn't have theological training. I believe in that with all my heart. But coming from that young lady, this great truth that in Christ my sin can be forgiven and I can be made to love even those who have hurt me so badly. In this passage of scripture that has been given to us, Peter also talks about suffering. Now, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, that so often we don't understand that at all. We think that if we live a good life, we should be rewarded by all kinds of blessings. Archie Bunker believes that, too. In one of his programs that I saw not long ago, Archie was having his gallbladder taken out. And he had some very uncomfortable moments. So what does he do? He turns to his wife, Edith, and says, "Where is this God? Why is he letting this happen to me?" Well, that's a very common question. We sometimes think that, well, let the operations and the sickness and the poverty and all of the rest come from somebody else, but certainly not from me. Others say the same thing, but they say it in a nicer way. Why do bad things happen to good people? Now listen, friend, to what Peter has to say to us, and that is before us today. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable for you. Here is a verse. To this you were called. To suffering we were called. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. We're called to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Peter is speaking here to slaves. I was amazed to learn that in the Roman Empire at that particular time, there were some 60 million slaves, and many of them had become part of the Christian church. Now, they were domestic slaves, and they did not just have minimal work. They could have been lawyers and doctors and teachers and many other professions that were as found in their day as well as in ours. You could find in the same congregation many members being slaves, and right there in the middle of them all was the slave owner. The slave is not sometimes the one that we think of as being in the south part of our country many, many years ago. Now, let's imagine that you are a doctor, but you're a slave. And here you are working on the owner's wife, who is very, very ill. The owner says, she better get well, or I will punish you. The inevitable happens. She dies. Now, let's say that that slave owner gets a hold of that doctor and has him beaten. It is just something like this. And now this is a product of my imagination. But there were 60 million slaves, and many of them were professional people. And the professional person did not do what you wanted him to do. Now, that was more serious than if he didn't get the crops taken care of like you wanted him to have them taken care of. Now you were dealing with his family, his wife, his child, or whoever it might be that had died. Well, Peter says, if you're one of those slaves and you're being tortured, pounded, beaten, suffering, you endure it because you remember that to that you were called. That doesn't make Christianity just that all inviting, does it? He says that in that hour, whatever the suffering might be that has been placed upon you, God will give you the grace and the strength to overcome what you would like to do, to take it. In other words, God does not want us to suffer. But if it comes, and it comes because of something that we have done that was good, then bear it. For there you have a terrific witness. Almost is impossible to think that we could do anything like this. Your Christian faith does not free you from suffering. Your Christian faith may bring suffering to you, but with it comes the grace of God. There is a readiness on the part of Christians to claim the peace of Christ while expecting no tribulation in the world. That's Archie Bunker's version of Christianity. Peter says, you were called to suffer, but you have a Savior who walks right there with you. So, my beloved friend, remember this, that in Jesus Christ there can be suffering. But in that great hour of suffering, there can be a peace which passes all understanding. Can there be peace at the time of great suffering? The answer is yes. That's what the Bible teaches us. And so proudly in the name of Christ, we move on to be his servants in good days and bad days as well. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your word and clearly teaching us that our redemption is in Jesus Christ alone. When once we have been united in a personal relationship with you, Holy Spirit, mature that faith that even unjust suffering can be accepted as a part of our calling. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the gospel message heard today will bring you peace and joy in the days to come. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. This helps us know which radio stations are being heard. All listeners who respond will be sent a booklet titled Beside Still Waters, which contains 14 familiar biblical passages that promise comfort and reassurance. Please call or write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, to share with us the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.